Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Alex Alowason, Sam Lidiat, Jessica Conrad, Amanda Whitehouse, Smruthi Maganti, Grayson, Selena Yu, Casey Milheiser, Destiny Catherine, Meg Tumney, Sarah L. Morpin, Nicholas Glover, Kaylee Prusak, Alex 1000 Beatles in a Trench Coat, Bletz, Isabel Wilson, Tria Frog, Shannon Clark, Caitlin Borgman, Ripley King, Patreonoid Android. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Hello and welcome
Welcome to episode 149 of the Roster Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex, and you're with me today. I have
Ben Meredith,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
and Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Zolf Smith.
Hamid Salahur and Alta Han.
Still the birthday girl!
Yay! Your birthday the last 1,000 years!
Dawn of the second birthday.
Let's not do the Daniel Barker birthday all over again.
Oh no!
And because twice in a row we've cut you off before you managed to get the words out.
Azu.
Because we're all excited about the second week of Lydia's birthday.
Yeah!
Now, interestingly, we're going to pick up exactly where we... pretty much where we started last session. Which is...
Alex. We'll pick up the pace.
We did some bonding over Harrison Campbell.
You're so close to getting fatigue checks for every hour that you're awake. Just
it doesn't matter.
Longer.
I can cure it all.
I know, but I just like the idea that you genuinely all do become a magic slash drug-fueled nightmare that just never stops.
Yeah.
As a cleric, you're basically just... steroiding people to keep going at this point.
Sal's offered me drugs.
I know.
No, I offered you potions. Excuse me.
Sal's offered me drugs.
Like I said, you're now just...
magic drugs.
I mean, from the outside looking in, I feel bad for Wilds. She's like, I'd like you to meet my team. And they're like... they're like a roided up...
yeah, they're just tweaked out.
Tweaked out complete mess.
Gotta save the world.
Basically speed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, Sal basically has... extracts that do that.
Like, mechanically, I know these things don't work like this. You guys are shaving years off your life every session.
I got a lot of those.
Right.
Same.
With that in mind, I'm going to come back in, which was, you were looking at Showin's diary, I believe.
Yeah. And you were looking to see if he liked you.
Well, I mean, like, why would he be so up in my business? I just don't understand. I kept saying, no, go away from the village. And he was like, oh, I'm going to send
my goons.
Some
men just don't understand boundaries.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
I
not actually
that.
An indication of them liking you. That's a bad miss. I've
we
forgotten
did,
my words.
You know, we used to chat alchemy and you know, I met him and he was, you know, he was a strange one. Anyway, oh, diary.
So, it is a full diary, like a hefty wodge of a book that seems
start
to go back...
Start at the back.
Start at the back.
At the end, well...
No, it's a good idea.
Start at... assume he was writing in a Japanese style.
This
so
is
that
correct.
The back is the beginning, so... that.
Well, no, the back is the front.
I will read the earliest entry, where he's sort of setting out, one assumes, what he expects from the diary, and then I will flick to the last one.
Okay, really sensible. Really sensible, great. So
he says things like that when something really bad's going to happen, so I understand
really
it's...
No.
It's one of those you read and it's like, you have just read
an explosion.
This is episode 149. It's episode 150 where we can't trust anything that happens.
You have saved me parsing an entire book across 20 minutes.
I'm not going
to
do that.
It's all good.
You.
So the opening is exactly what you would expect. To give a loose translation, something along the lines of,
"This is for my memoirs. I'm so important."
No, you know what he would. You know what
Sorry,
he would do.
Sorry, can you just have a character with that voice? I love
the Japanese equivalent of, and he would write like this, something along the lines of, "Herein, thou might findest the accounts of Yoshida Shoin." He is written in an ancient imperial mode for a start.
He's Garth Marenghi,
and he has basically written.
Alex has given me the yes of course look.
As played by Richard Ayoade.
Yoshida Shoin. Yeah. Thinker, dreamly weaver.
So, what you need to be aware is this isn't Garth Marenghi. What this is just Garth Marenghi's dark place compressed into a single NPC.
Yeah.
So, it is completely florid, goddamn nonsense. Mm. And it is clear that this was meant to be published at some point.
It's sort of like, you know, version...
Simply the thoughts and feelings of a young girl and consequently meant for publication.
So, explains... Like, so this is just basically, you know, it's melodramatic trash. I don't see why anyone would read that kind of thing.
Skipping to the end.
The shade!
I just look at Azu.
Azu looks back like...
solidarity.
Yeah. We know.
Yeah.
Skipping to the end. Yeah. They aren't Japanese. They might be, like, a child's copy of, like, Japanese... pictographs.
Oh dear.
It isn't really pictographs. There's a decent number of sketches in there.
Yeah.
The latest sketches are extremely abstract. It is
are
like...
the entries dated?
At the first, problematically so. 16th of March,
3 p.m.
3:03 p.m. A new thought has occurred. At the end, some of the drawings cross over pages, and there are no dates of any kind. You suddenly realise, Sel, that you can literally hold it up and go flipbook style,
yeah,
and watch it just start fine, and then about 2/3 of the way through, it just real quick turns into, honestly, like geometric patterns.
The obvious question to
very
ask.
Very abstract.
Sel will summarise that. So it degrades, clearly. I'm just going to hunt through and try and work out what exactly was happening at the point where he began to degrade, because something is happening to his thinking. I mean, look at that. That kind of abstract geometry is not doing any favours.
Difference, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a good point, though. Is it the veins? Is it something else? Is it, you know, whatever he's been doing to his brain?
I mean, if you have too many channel vigours, you can end up beginning to try and think in too many dimensions.
Right. So he's
can
just,
you yeah. roll me a either perception or linguistics? I don't mind which.
Perception.
This is just for you to how like, well you are parsing down into something.
19.
Okay, cool. You skip and notice that the first sort of major transition happens at the halfway point. The halfway point of the diary goes from stuff like, I was telling the prime ministerial candidate of the 17th prefecture the other day about blah, 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 to basically going like Eureka and becomes all shop, no fluff.
Mm.
It stops being a piece for publication and starts being an actual diary.
Right.
And he is fulsome. He goes into huge amounts of detail, which I'm going to parse down for you because otherwise I'm just explaining how stuff works. And it's fictional. These machines don't work. Guys, I can't explain how they work because they're not real.
Partially powered by magic.
It doesn't work, so I can't.
Then the wizard did it.
At some point, it does boil down to because magic. But in there, it effectively states the following, and I'm just going to kind of bullet point it. He has been interested in, he genuinely uses the phrase expanding his consciousness, beyond the limitations of his material form.
Yeah.
He's utterly convinced that he can do it, and at the halfway point, he has.
Mm.
He realises that he has built that chair in the table, and he successfully, for a short period of time, hooked him up into his entire infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
He goes off for a while talking about what it's like to see from 1,000 eyes, hear from 1,000 ears.
Oh, no.
And breathe through the very fires of the earth. Mm-hmm. It goes very poetic, and for like there's a brief moment where
for
you're like...
For a while, I have to say that Sel is like commenting on what, and then just they start reading quite intensely in a much more like, ooh. But
when he's talking about that, by the way, all of that fluff goes away. It's actually really well written.
Mm.
And he's clearly had what's as close can be described as like a transcendent experience. Like, he genuinely is affected by this.
I mean,
he had magic mushrooms.
Wait, and also, he has literally had a transcendent experience.
Yeah.
He's so transcended.
He is like, this isn't just the future for me, this is the future for everyone. This is
God.
The sort of thing that will be happening is you're like, so we'll be commenting on like, oh, and then he's talking to a prime minister, and then, he's talking about like expanding his consciousness, and like anyone would want to do that. And then he's, you know, he's doing this, and then, like, no more comments, and they're just, like, their eyes get closer and closer to
him. Sel, what are you reading?
I shall keep going. There's far more to give.
Yes.
Alchemically speaking, at first, he starts to have a couple of enormously profound insights where it's like, okay, well, that would make a 15-year brew take 15 minutes. Interesting. Then he just abandons alchemy and starts talking about how utterly it's irrelevant beyond the means to achieve this kind of transcendence. As it goes on, though, it becomes apparent that phase one was rigging himself up to his infrastructure. Okay. Phase two was being able to sustain that. He placed himself in this basically sealed bubble because, frankly, he needed to make sure that his meaty vessel didn't crap out on him. Mm. That was it. And the best way to do that is make sure that he's in basically a sealed bubble.
Mm.
He does start to go off on one at one point where he discovers a cave system and basically mentions that all of his labour problems are solved.
Oh, yes, okay.
He doesn't really
found the kobolds.
He literally doesn't go into it more than, well, that's that problem solved. Back to achieving consciousness beyond the realms of mere mortals. Mm-hmm. You also notice there's a slight evil twinge in that his thinking's very much, whoever gets to do this first pretty much gets to control how other people access this kind of thing.
Mm.
So that's kind of, you know, where the long-term
philosophical money is, as it were.
So Garth Marenghi by way of Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
This is getting a bad combination.
This is getting very messy. Yeah. As it proceeds, phase two, very, very simply, was, yeah, like I said, making it sustainable, which he achieved. Phase three was, it'd be better to be able to just check into my meat body occasionally, but spend most of my time here. So he managed that, apparently. And then last but not least, he was like, look, flesh takes feeding, like, toilets are a hassle.
Cell's face while, like, reading this, like, has a slight and is just, like, nodding sympathetically.
It's really inefficient. Like, he had a knee twinge. And how are you meant to think when you have a knee twinge? Like, the solution there is to not have knees.
Cell is nodding and shrugging as if this was a conversation.
Same. big mood show.
Yeah. Hashtag relatable.
Does this mean... I don't know if this is an in-character question or an out-character question.
The bat was showing.
That the body that exploded was actually Showin's body.
It's a good question.
No, it's smeared across the floor, so I don't think we'll ever get the answer now.
It was dressed as a cleric.
It looked like one of the party. But...
So, as it continues, he basically box-ticked. It sort of starts to go wrong from here, really, where the handwriting starts to degrade. He hasn't gone completely cuckoo bananas, but nonetheless, like, the handwriting is starting to get a bit awkward, and he's mentioning that he's trying to jump back into the body, but it just it doesn't really move at the kind of speed that he needs it to, and it's getting thinner, you know. So he's spending a lot more time in the mechanical body. He's basically making upgrades to it, of course, and then he has another sort of brainwave, which is where he's limited himself to a single static facility, and that's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. The real solution here is to make stuff that can go out into the world so he can experience more of it.
Oh, no!
And he reckons he actually managed to uncover, like, basically a body on the seabed that he reckons, like, mechanically busy, like, shape-wise, he could pretty much model off. Like, it's ideal. It could probably travel quite far.
So Showin isn't controlling the squids. He is.
That would be really, really sensible. But he does mention as well that ideally he'd want them to be networked.
Yeah,
you know, who wants to be trapped in one? Either be all of them or none of them. So he starts focusing a lot on that.
How did he network them? Is that detail in there? Did we shut down the network?
Some sort of blue veiny dealy.
Or maybe that's connected to the weather.
Absolutely, he does go into how they're networking. He does mention, I'm doing this a little bit out of order, Francois Henri did appear in the earlier days and was giving a little bit of help in the initial phase of how do I get from brain to infrastructure. But he very much leaves Francois Henri's stuff behind because, frankly, between, like, literally in the diary, between you and I, it was a dim man.
Wow, yeah, he just put an organic neural network. What an idiot.
Yeah, exactly. So he appears to have continued this work. That was what the lighthouse was for. He literally just goes, oh, massive lighthouse, I can just use that. I'll probably need a redundant power system, a phrase that'll probably crop up. And then, last but not least, he is starting to get a bit bored, and people have started to nose around as his empire has spread. There is a footnote mention of you.
Oh, an annoyance.
That is the sum total.
Yeah. Oh, he did care.
He has delegated pretty much all of his earthly concerns at this point out to minions because, frankly, the infrastructure is built to take care of itself. Why would he need them? Then people start turning up. People keep trying to investigate. So he has a bit of fun. Why not? He keeps starting to reference the book that was on the bedside table. Always was his favourite. He couldn't help himself.
Oh, no.
Then things go really weird when one of the parties he's quite happy with, you seem to think he's had about five or six by this point. All of them failed.
He was a dungeon boss, and yes, an adventuring party's kept trying to raid his dungeon.
Absolutely.
He's paying dungeon keeper.
He's
loving it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But one of the people that came had the blue veins, and so that infected him. That is what the cleric was.
So yeah, Here's how the narrative goes.
He
was having a whale of a time because he's just like, listen, being transcendent is great, but it's nice to take a load off, climb inside your big brain orb, and just design some new traps for people to make for you. It's a good way to, you know, kick back.
Jigsaw.
Then things go really weird where, for the first time in ages, one of the clerics made it all the way to the puzzle table. He plugs him in and has a nice little direct conversation, because obviously you do.
Brain to brain.
Naturally. Why wouldn't you? At which
so much
point...
more efficient than those flappy meat sounds.
At which point, the kind of degrade...
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh, gets very, very steep.
A little bit of simultaneous action. When Cell starts to do that, I start hunting for the holy symbol that the cleric had.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. But, yeah.
So you said there was something weird in the cleric, right? Like the veins.
The cleric's got the veins.
They have,
right,
yeah, they're
so
infected.
That's the point. That,
yeah.
So Showin was not... Because I was thinking, like, oh, maybe, you know, he was the source.
So
of Showin
was protecting
but no,
himself.
He was... The blue veins came to him, and relatively recently, really, in the
right.
scheme of things.
Yeah, as far as you can tell, in terms of dates, probably within the last 6 months or so. What happens is emotion returns to the man. He talks a little bit less about transcending the coils of these mere material flesh forms, and a little bit more like, I'm going to have to take some immediate action. He's afraid, basically. He's yeah. afraid of what's happening. And then he seems to have another breakthrough. He's managed to halt it.
So he mutilated what remained of himself?
He says two things, which are the key takeaways, which is me closing out this diary. Number one, he says that he's managed to halt it. The cost is high, but worth it. And the second thing is, he believes that he has the means... to transmit his solution across to the remainder of his network. However, he prays that he retains enough of himself that he might be able to enact this. And then it is just...
garbage.
Garbage! So, initially, by the way, the garbage is a lot of high adventure drawings, really badly, like stick figures with swords and, like, a ship and, like, a beach and treasure, and then it just deteriorates into lines.
So it looks genuinely sad.
There is nothing more, by the way, to give you for that. I have been talking for, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah. That was amazing. I loved every second of it.
I don't have any more for you.
That was very, very good info.
I have taken, like, 250 to 300 pages and given it you in about 15 minutes.
That was excellent.
Yes. Solid exposition. Well done,
yes.
Alex.
Yes.
Yeah, well done.
Polite clapping.
Yes, miss.
Happy clapping. I'm going to do something I don't often do, which is take
a big sip of water
on the actual recording.
I drank one,
What are you going to say to make us spit it out?
Well, apparently you're saying that right over his laptop.
Tempting. Very tempting. Info dump complete. You would like to know the holy symbol?
Yeah, I'm looking for the holy symbol. Be very careful with the glaive and stuff.
That's fine. Hephaestus specifically.
Piss.
We need to search that person's belongings. Where are their belongings?
Yeah, so I, like, hook the holy symbol. Is it a little hammer? I'm assuming it's a little hammer.
It's a hammer and chisel combo.
Cool. Aww.
Think, like, forgive the reference. Think, like, Soviet Russia. It's not a sickle. It's a chisel.
Yeah. So I pick up with my glaive and, like, hang it, like, right, cloak of Hephaestus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but Hephaestus...
Oh, I like those folks.
Grizzop.
Yes.
Who?
One of our members of our team. He went. He told us when he got to Rome that he'd gone to a cleric of Hephaestus and asked the cleric to build something.
Yes.
What
for him?
What? What did he want to build?
A kill switch.
Yes.
For what?
For the simulacra, the robots.
Right. Okay.
So sorry, is the simulacra the robots or the veins? The simulacra or the veins the robots?
I still don't understand the connection, but Wilde and Curie both seemed very sure that the veins were somehow connected to the robots. Now, we found warehouses full of these robots in Damascus, but we blew them all up and we destroyed the factory that was creating them.
Oh.
They were being run by people who wanted to kill everyone and take over the world, as far as we could tell.
For a change.
But both Curie... and Wilde seem to think there's some connection. I still haven't worked out why they think that or what the connection is, but the kill switch is potentially important, and they said that the Hephaestus cleric, they found him or someone close to him, but they denied all knowledge of it, and I don't know what... There was some sort of breakdown of communication. Like, Grizzop wasn't able to tell us everything that happened to him, but he just summarised the story.
Well, yeah, Wilde mentioned it. Yeah, before we hooked up, he was looking for... Not like that. Yeah, he was looking for, as you say, the Hephaestus lot, and they refused. Were they already infected? Is this even related?
Like, or maybe, is it possible that they actually were not infected? They were continuing their own investigations and they just didn't trust you?
I don't know. Wilde dealt with it. I didn't.
Well, Wilde would have said
him.
Is pretty much everything you said beyond he genuinely believed that Grizzop did commission them to make a thing. He has a pet theory, which is that the Hephaestus lot just disappeared it. As for why, Who could say? It could have been a whim of the person that built the thing him. Of course.
Or the oath that as we all know, thing. Right, so Showin is almost like just a sideshow for this.
He thinks he might have found a way to stop the spread of the infection, but only to himself. And did he transmit it to the network? That wasn't clear. And what is the network? He said he was staying in touch with these squid bodies, but I couldn't tell how he was staying in touch with them.
He could have perhaps uploaded the meaning, the cure, or the stop thing to one of the squids as a distributed network to make sure that it was not destroyed. Yeah. And so it could be floating around in these squids.
So we might need to...
Oh, here's a better translation for you. Kraken. The word is kraken, not squid.
Krakens. Right. Krakens, sorry. Squids are the little ones? The Krakens, they're the big ones.
So we might have to capture a Kraken.
I am going to give you some knowledge via knowledge profession sailor. Like,
okay.
Just legends of the thing. Krakens. One, pretty sure they're all dead. Two.
Wrong, but yeah.
Two, the myths go as follows. Number one, can control the weather.
Okay.
You ruled this out early in your investigations. Yeah, yeah. Krakens, there tends to be one, the reason being extremely intelligent creatures, extremely malicious creatures, and they can be communicated with, bargained with, and otherwise talked with. It's widely believed that even if there were Krakens, they were killed off by time, if nothing else. Like there are a couple of accounts that are very, very early of, like, people who claim to have seen Krakens fighting each other. It doesn't really amount to much.
Kraken Civil War.
Right, so, hang on a minute.
But we're talking at least pre-Rome.
Lay down your arms, at least.
Right. So Showin found a Kraken corpse. He's now building his own Krakens. Himself as Krakens. They control the weather. Oh, my... What? So this is just Showin's ego...
I mean, so Showin was having a pretty destructive effect on the world as a whole himself, but he was still on a different side than the infection.
Well, unfortunately, the Krakens are still out there, still going, and Showin is mad now.
It could very well be that all of those Krakens are now converging on this place to destroy us.
I wasn't thinking about that.
Seeing as we quite
deliberately...
We need to go downstairs and see if there's anything else, and then we need to take... Showin and see if we can hook him up and get anything out of him, like the solution. But it might be somewhere else.
I would very much advise against plugging him into anything that we find that he designed.
Oh, yeah, no.
Because it probably has a backup communication.
Yes.
Zolf, we need to sleep.
No, we need to go. We can sleep when this is done.
Zolf, we are going to be useless. We've been on the go for over 24 hours. We have climbed up and down stairs and ladders for hours.
We cannot spend 8 hours in this place.
Maybe. In this room, but we need to find somewhere safe.
Let's just go down the stairs. We can run away if we need to, but if we can't stop now.
How are we going to run away?
We are useless at this point, Zolf. I'm going to be asleep on my feet in an hour or two. We haven't eaten. We haven't rested. We are... Whatever is down there, we need to be... in peak condition, and we cannot face whatever comes next without resting first.
I'm with him. I'm out of healing.
We can't
tired.
If we wait, we give them 8 hours. If Cell is right, we have Kraken converging on here. There was not one far away.
Well,
we have limited time before this base is potentially destroyed along with us.
I actually quite like the idea of both. So we go down, there's probably, caves. I would hope that there are some places that are maybe, sealed off. And then we can have a rest. Because I have run out of weapons.
Wait.
And at the moment, if a Kraken turned up, I would be less than useless.
Skark. Does Skark know if there's a way out via the kobold tunnels?
I can't fit.
We don't know how big they are. They might make them big.
Skark has said he's never been down here, but I can ask. Skark?
Oh, Skark's not in the room.
Skark! Skark!
Right. Ready? Solves that conversation. Down we go. And I start walking down.
Sel gives a very sympathetic look to Azu.
Azu trudges after Zolf.
Is it dark down there?
Also, I'm still
a big
fat wing.
The Irish mechanism...
Just to flag that up.
The Irish mechanism in the middle of the table opened and a platform came up.
Yeah.
You cannot climb down
that hole.
Stairs got created on either side leading up on top of the table.
Oh.
You can only head down through a lift. There was also
the
chute
the
that the chair was...
Oh, is the platform the lift?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I...
Basically, that unless he's turned himself into goo, there's a metal grill... He hasn't gone down that way. He could have gone down the chair.
I think he's gone down.
Skrark!
The door that you haven't entered
opens.
Skrark then pokes his head out from the entranceway, the sort of galleyway that you initially came up in.
Are you okay? I didn't know where you... Where
door!
Yeah.
Fixed it. Too much door.
You got it open.
Eh.
Good work, but just so you know, it'd be useful to let me know what you're doing if you're going to disappear so we don't know where you are.
Ask about the
tunnels.
We're
a team. We're going to stick together.
Right.
We think there are some ancient tunnels below the ground that are down there. We think they might have belonged to the kobolds once. Have you ever heard about kobold, like, caves under here?
Skrark, kind of, his face screws up. Mm. And he's like, yeah, it looks maybe not painful, but it's like he's trying to fit into a space that's too small for him.
Yeah. Skrark, it's okay. You think you might have? Okay, don't force anything. It's going to start, I think it might start coming back to you, but we'll have to see.
We need to
We're going to go down there. You should come with us.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to stick together. Yep.
Skrark just takes a surprising flying leap from the high balcony and just flips and then lands fairly well. Cobbled, you know, they're bouncy, mostly made of rubber.
Is that canon?
Canon, they're mostly made of rubber and enthusiasm. Skrark.
We're gonna go down now. Are you going to stick with us?
Skrark.
Yeah. Okay.
Skrark preps spear ready to sort of activate the lift and just stares.
Sel's wings, by the way, are still pretty massive. I don't think mechanically they're in the way, but they're just awkwardly poking you every now and then.
You can say you don't think that mechanically they're in the way, but mechanically they're in the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like in a charisma minus one kind of sense.
Yeah, there you go.
They're in the way.
Get on the lift.
Yep.
Yeah. I follow.
Yep, get on the lift.
Fair enough. Skrark takes a moment, looks to everyone. Everyone ready?
Double thumbs up. Is that what he says?
Is what he says. At which point Scratch sort of goes, he jabs it in a little bit and pulls his spear out. As the lift starts descending, he scampers up and then leaps onto the platform and stands there. Too much lift. Then it starts to descend and the iris mechanism closes overhead. I'll take a break there, I think.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And coming back in. So, as you're descending, lights turn on, which is good.
Ooh.
The lift appears to be fixed at 3 points.
Like
and it's
three
just,
rails. Though,
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah. Think three rails, so it's like equidistant, equilateral triangle, that's the word. So it's heading down and lights come on at the level that you're at, and then as it lowers, the next layer of lights come on and the last layer turn off, so you're sort of in a thing. Skrark's just there, kind of.
The claws at the top of the bat wings tapping out a rhythm.
Zolf is silent.
Stands a little closer to Zolf's growl.
Hammond is counter-harmonising.
Flawlessly.
Bryn can't do that, but Hammond can, and he does.
Naturally. The lift journey continues.
Important question. How much time has passed? Because I'm still a giant bat thing.
How long does a giant bat thing last?
80 minutes.
That long?
Okay. Yeah, we've got a lot
done. Yeah, we spent quite a lot of time like searching and reading and stuff.
Yeah, there you go. As you descend.
Reading out that diary.
Yes.
Like a whole book.
Cell did all the voices.
Sorry. And then Turin was like, rah, 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 rah. And Kraken was like, rah, 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 rah. Love it. So as you're descending, yeah, you slowly start to occupy less space.
And yet, somehow still awkwardly. Actually, no, less awkwardly, because my charisma goes from... I was on charisma minus two. Now I'm only charisma minus one.
You become less awkward.
You all feel less awkward.
See, the mechanics, they work. The excessive mechanics work. As we all continue down, actually, you are approaching a sort of a light change towards the bottom of the lift. So, like, you can see that you're about to enter a larger room. The lift continues to descend at a steady rate, and then it descends and you enter into a much, much larger space. To be clear, the lift hasn't just sort of plummeted. The three points of contact are still extending into what appears to be a huge natural cavern. Okay? So, bear with me as I sort of describe all of it, and then we'll add detail. It appears to be a massive, enormous cavern beyond really the realms that you're able to see, even with dark vision and so on, so we're talking hundreds of feet. It has a sort of ready glow to it, looking down a couple of hundred feet. You just get this for free. There appears to be some lava. Something appears to be blocking it. Appears to be in like a pipe.
Oh, but okay. Slightly see-through if there's red light coming
out. Yeah, so it looks like that basically there appear to be like inspection hatches or something where lots of red light are coming out.
Mm. So I mean, it's quite warm in here as well.
Yeah, so it's very, very warm. There's a lot of steam coming through. Anyone know what's like brine, like hot brine smells?
Yes.
like a
like in Iceland where you're having
hot spring, that's
yes,
the word,
right?
yeah. Yes, so it has that kind of tang to it.
Does it have a sulfur smell?
We're underground.
Maybe a little bit. Yeah, maybe a little bit.
So that's kind of
increasingly
eddy.
Hellish.
Oh my god,
eddy
we're
well
in a secret volcano base underneath a secret seafloor base. How many layers of supervillain was this?
You kept
person?
Complaining about Pulpy, so you're now in a secret volcano base at the bottom of the ocean that's also gothic, that's also a giant asylum vibe, that's also an island on the sea.
Too many tropes.
What do you want?
From you, Bryn! From you!
So, as you continue descending, there's the occasional, like, waft of steam that comes across that has that tang to it. No one's making false saves, you're not suffocating or anything, it's just a flavour thing. But it is slightly obscuring.
Is it a bit uncomfortable in general?
It's not nice. That's the best way to describe it. It's not nice.
It seems like it might get quite hot down here. I've got Endure Elements, I could cast it twice. I don't know if anyone else has anything else left.
Let's not waste...
I can also do that. You would
nice.
Be surprised how often... extreme temperatures come up in my line of work.
Use it when we know we need it. Don't use it now.
Okay.
Sell your back.
slightly less, kind of with the teeth and the claws and the...
Nice to see you.
So as you continue descending, you start seeing that there are metal walkways crisscrossing this space, which is massive, by the way. Like massive, enormous cavern.
Do the walkways
cavern.
Have rails? How much respect to health and safety
the walkways
does
do
this supervillain
have? The walkways do have rails, and they appear to have a handrail at
so more
like,
than
a
the
lower
Empire.
Height and a higher height.
Huh?
Yeah. Cell, can you give me a knowledge geography, please?
22.
This cavern shouldn't be here. This is wrong. This is not the way the world works. You can't have a cavern this big at the bottom of the ocean, because... physics.
So, like, this place shouldn't, you know, like, it shouldn't be. You think about the weight of all the water that's above here,
right.
And how it might drip through, and how this is a cavern, and there's lava, and, like, also, basically physics, you know, all of that, this, and geography, okay. Too. Consider nature as well. Maybe dungeoneering, which is really something that I say you shouldn't put time into learning about because it comes up less than you think. You know, all those things together, this place, this is wrong.
How so?
Like, naturally, this wouldn't be... It's going to need to be propped up with, like, magic or something.
That seems reasonable.
Might be reinforced. I mean, there's clearly construction down here. If they built the walkways, maybe they reinforced the walls.
It's here.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's going to imminently collapse on us. It's here.
Well, I mean, the fact that it shouldn't be here is valuable to know, because maybe if we turn things off, maybe it will collapse on us. That is
a good point. Yep.
Everyone, give me a sense motive, please.
17.
Mm-hmm.
13. Mm-hmm. 12. Mm-hmm. 22. Zolf. Mm-hmm. Oh, Azzy, you're slipping.
I am.
Zolf.
Tired.
You notice that Skrark's in a bad way. You realise that he hasn't really been piping up or anything, and looking at him, like, ears are down, tail's droopy, shoulders down. Do you know the sort of, like, sad dog vibe? You know, where it's like, aww, you know, they ate your dinner, and it's not that they're worried they're going to get shouted at, but they know they did wrong.
Yeah.
Like, in their bones, they're not a good dog.
Oh, no! Always a good dog!
apparently, Skrark does not think Skrark is a good dog. Let's put it that way. Skrark is, like, imploding in on himself.
Hammond. What's wrong with Skrark?
Oh, Skrark? Skrark, are you okay?
Nothing from Skrark, save a 1,000-yard stare.
Skrark, what's wrong? Skrark, it's okay. You can talk to us. What's wrong? It's
bad.
Have you been here before? A memory's coming back.
It's bad.
What's bad it's about bad. It, Skrark? What?
Skrark, just
how
kind
is
of,
it? How is it bad?
Should go up. Go back up. Go back up. It's bad.
We've got to know what's down here.
It's bad.
Skrark, are you okay?
What's wrong?
He's not very clear. He seems to be afraid. He seems to think this place is bad.
That's too vague.
I know.
What will make him tell you?
Skrark, it's okay. We're going to protect you, but you have to tell us what's here.
No, it's bad. Skrark is now, like, on his haunches. His spear is now just laid down on the lift, and he's just
Skrark. He's
just kind of getting smaller. In fact, no, he's going. He is. Coiling in on himself like a cat that's ill, or a snake that's, like, trying to occupy the minimum amount of space.
Can I pick him up?
Yes.
I would like to pick up the small sad kobold and do a little patty back.
As you do so, you feel his tiny little heart a pitter-patter fluttering incredibly quickly.
I think he's panicking.
Yeah, he just seems really afraid.
He's gone.
He's not able to articulate why.
And keep your axe arm free, ready.
Well, I only need one hand for that. Just.
I'd say Skrark basically ends up coiling around your neck. Does the sort of head.
Skrark scarf.
Yes.
Does a scarf.
A scarf.
Yes. Yes. So,
I'm so happy.
I wonder if there's a knitting pattern for something like that.
One of our friends has already crocheted a little Skrark. One of our fans.
I have to warn
friends,
you.
Fans, yes. Friends, same thing.
I have to warn you that the Skrark, with his head nuzzled into your sort of armpit to hide his head more, technically would be occupying the neck slot, but I'm going to allow it.
Thank you. Reward my compassion, Alex.
I'll do it this time.
I guess I pick up his spear for him.
Go for it.
Put it in my
The lift arrives, by which I mean...
Do we have the brain orb? Who's carrying the brain orb? What are we doing with the brain orb?
How big is it?
I'm happy to retcon either way. It is carryable, but it is, like, the size of a person's torso.
If we were looking for a way out, someone will have had to bring it.
I'm fine for you to just bag of holding it, if you will.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Would it fit?
Bag of holding.
You can't put people in there.
People.
Yes, it's an intelligence. It's an intelligence.
Well, you can put people in a thing, it's just that they only get a limited amount of, like,
breath. Oh, it's
so
air.
There's no air in there.
Oh, fine.
They just get to go...
Yeah.
I mean, if it fits... If it fits inside the aperture...
Hang a minute. Consulting the judges. Narrative expediency, the orb does fit inside a bag of holding.
Maybe one of you look around and Cell has somehow, like, constructed a stretchy opening in the bag of holding.
Turns out if you apply enough force to a brain orb, it just fits. So who knew?
Kicking, holding, opening, kicking.
Mechanically, you have forced the orb into a bag of holding that should not have been big enough to allow it in. Now
it
we know.
It's not pretty sight.
This is not a precedent.
The next time you retrieve something from that bag of holding, it's covered in blue veins. It's not even... an object with a circulatory system.
No.
What happened here?
Not really canon. What is canon is that you reach your destination, which is a large, metal platform suspended to all intents and purposes in the middle of the cavern. There are three walkways leading off to it towards the edges of the room, which are well beyond the range of your vision. And lava is
there's
still...
enough light to just sort of see by for those of us without dark.
There is some light.
Yeah.
Okay. There is an ambient glow of doom. So, as it stands, you are now suspended in the middle of this cavern. Maybe not the exact middle, but do you know what I mean? Like, laterally the middle. And there are three walkways, each equilateral triangle style, leading away into different walls of the cavern.
Pick one and start walking.
Mm. All right.
Yeah?
Yep.
So, you all start walking, and, yeah, the steam is still sort of obscuring vision a little bit and so on. Can everyone give me a perception roll, please?
A natural one.
Oh, dear.
Ooh, 30. It's all right for some. I'd say unlucky for some, but 30 is very rarely an unlucky number in Pathfinder.
17.
18.
Hamid, then, you get it first. You know that thing when you are looking at stars, and you're looking at stars, and then like you feel like you can see more stars at the edge of your vision, but then you look there, and then they're not there, but it's because, edge of eyes sense
eyes
more light. And, but you know what I mean? Like, the stars are there, but they're kind of gone when you look. Mm. You're getting that. Looking out towards the wall of the cavern, it feels like that just immediately senses you're getting
like points of light.
There are points of light. There are points of light kind of dotted around the cavern that they appear to be green,
wait,
not white.
A giant gemstone, a giant geode.
Well, no. Okay, I mean, I can roll. I've got enough points in knowledge geography that unless I roll a natural one,
I'm introducing the mechanic of passive geography. Your passive geography goes.
Should
off.
I roll to know?
No, it's a passive score.
Passive geography.
The whole point of passive, yeah.
Yeah, you just know.
No. Just no.
I don't think Hammond even says that in character, probably. Like, he doesn't think there's anything worth remarking on here. Like, it's ever so slightly weird, but this cavern is just weird, so...
Fair enough.
I mean, let's put it this way. You were already violating the laws of physics.
What's
maybe
weird
it is
anymore?
An enormous gene.
Yeah.
There we go. Do you even let people know? Do we keep walking?
I honestly don't think Hamid finds that weird enough to remark upon. Like, as far as he knows, it's normal for a volcanic cavern underneath the sea. I mean, frames of reference and stuff, right?
I think we continue on.
Yeah,
fair enough. So you press on along the, I was going to say corridor, the walkway, and as you do, the points of light resolve themselves into actually being pairs of points of light.
Oh no!
Stretching up the walls all the way out of your range of vision, up, down, to the left, to the right, on all sides of the cavern that
let's
you can see.
Hold off exactly how horrified we should be until we learn if those have faces.
Oh,
that's
Lydia!
Worse. That's worse. just saying, we've seen things split before.
Maybe it's Acme style, you know, like when they animate a dark room and then the light turns on and it's just the eyes going, what?
Yeah. Like, showing could have just put a glow stick in a toilet roll tube.
Or smoke and mirrors. Or smoke and mirrors. Press on, stop.
Yeah, we carry on.
Okay, fair enough. I am basically going to say, you continue pressing on, and then it resolves for all of you for the sake of my ease all at the same time, which is the final briny steam passes away. And you see on the walls, stretching up, down, left and right, prison cells. Oh. So like jail cells with metal bars across the front. And within each of them is a kobold with glowing green eyes.
No. Oh, no, that's worse. That's worse.
As we make sure that Squark can't see that.
Squark's buried in his place.
Like a battery farm.
That's exactly what we're going for. Well, the cages are not large enough for a kobold to do more than sit.
Alex, no. I don't even respect your craft
we haven't respected Squark for a long time.
Yeah. It is not nice. And they are stacked on top of one another, up, down, left, right, as far as you can see, circling the cavern.
Why are there... many. Eyes glowing.
Is it the same green as the...
Oh, yes!
Would hazard a guess that the same fluid which turned on the big thing up there, like that these are somehow connected. I don't know how. This is not something that I have ever studied. I would really make that clear, but just if there's a catalyzing agent that is able to animate things up there, it may be able to animate controlled drug.
What would it do to them?
Well, are they all mind controlled?
Regardless of what's happened, it's going to be bad.
Everyone give me a perception check, please.
Oh god. 13.
Natural 20.
23.
You are all over the map, Zoff. You've gone from 1 to 20 to 1 to 20 and back again. I don't like your bell curves. They feel wrong to me. I'm going to go with Zolf then. Zolf, you're the first to notice that, yeah, around the cavern, you notice that there are a few kobolds having a wander. To be clear, they don't seem to have green eyes the way that the ones in the cells do, but they are just sort of padding along. There's a couple, like, fairly nearby doing maybe some basic maintenance on a cell. Like, there's a couple carrying stuff on the far side. A prison box, which is significantly less dramatic as a word. But yeah, they are sort of padding along, apparently unconcerned. No one seems to have noticed you or anything.
There's maintenance staff.
Oh.
Talk to them.
We should, yeah.
Okay.
Hamid, go.
Can you, you know, with your voice and your claw, connection.
Yeah, they did, I guess.
We can't.
We just need to find out what's going on. What about the ones in the cells? Are we going to let them out? We can't. If the eyes...
They are all perfectly still. You can even see from here. They are breathing, but they're all just staring like dead ahead.
Can we get close to them? Like, are we able to...
Yeah. So, just to describe it a little bit more, the walkway goes up to a sort of flat walkway that is on a row of these... I've got to call them cells. It's built into my head.
I don't allow it.
They are stacked three high with a ladder beside, so you can get to the cells that are stacked. And then there is another walkway after three cells up, and then another walkway and the same down below. It's Matrix. It's the Matrix. They're in the Matrix. It's the Matrix. Okay.
Cool.
At least the goopy bit.
Maybe
we should.
I talk to the maintenance ones first and try and find out what's going on with the ones in the cells.
Gentle with
them.
I don't think we should hurt them anymore.
If we can avoid it.
While they're deliberating, I'm going to go see if there are maintenance staff, there's somewhere they're going or coming from, so I'm going to try and find a way out.
Like a side door to the main cavern. Sure. I am going to separate you out, but I'm going to assume you don't go out of eyesight, or at least close enough, because otherwise...
I can hear them, I'll go.
Okay, cool. Mm.
Yeah, I guess I go up to two of the maintenance kobolds. Hi?
They stop and turn to you. They are dull. I don't know how else to put it. Have you ever been around
like
someone...
Like the ones upstairs? Or
no,
worse.
Worse. So if the ones upstairs were, like, you know, a little bit off, these are bordering on, like, a catatonic state. Mm. They are... blank-faced, and they just look at you. One of them's holding a spanner, the other one's holding a screwdriver, and they just stand looking at you. Oh, it's like they're waiting for orders.
Oh.
I don't think they're okay. What are your orders?
They just kind of point to different bits of the cavern.
Where do you go to get orders?
They both kind of look at one another for a moment, then they just both look up.
Nowhere. Being refreshed. Where do you sleep?
They kind of take a while, then point to just different points in the cavern again.
Oh. Maybe we should, like...
Because there must be some... Those would be safe places, right? There must be places that are... That maybe we can rest, or that we can take some of them.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking
if we
keep them away from whatever is keeping them doped up...
Yeah, they must be getting like new doses, right?
With Skark, it seems like he's changed a lot over the course of just a couple of hours. And yeah. I know I estimated before that it might take...
You said 24,
yeah,
I think.
Like a while. But maybe, you know, where's...
He might have been further from his most recent dose.
Yeah. So we just need to keep them safe.
We can
safe.
Stop them being dosed. Maybe they'll start to recover too.
Let's hope so. Should we take... one or
Sella's going to grapple one and tie their hands up.
Grapple's a strong word for gently
like
lead
hug.
Into a rope.
Yeah, do you know, gently right, wrap it around them and then like pick them up.
They don't really seem to understand what you're doing, but they're happy to. They would help if they could understand what you were trying to do.
Oh. I'm going to talk to the other one and be like, "You should follow us and see if they'll take orders from me."
Kind of looks at you blankly.
I'm not sure that's going to.
Cell looks at the one they're holding. I'm like, you're going to be okay now.
Pop my claws and say, you should follow me.
You get nothing.
And I take them away again because I only get a limited number of rounds per day.
They got eyes
like saucers.
I can say
those are extremely good claws.
They got eyes like saucers, but all they do is look at faces. Zolf, to jump to you temporarily, yeah, you find a pressure door, same as the ones they have, like, up in the above place.
Like the you mean the submarine
style?
Yeah,
submarine turny door style, and it leads past the cells, as in, like, think, if the cells are lining the cavern wall, it just seems to lead to past them.
I've got a way out, over here.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess we...
Yeah, all right, well...
The one you ordered follows.
Ooh.
Pad.
Maybe it did work, then.
We're collecting kobolds.
Pad.
Apparently so. I mean, I'm
better
like
than how they are now, yes.
Let all of them out, but it doesn't seem safe and...
None of the ones in the cells have reacted to you in any way. They're not even staring at you as you go past. They're just staring out into the cavern.
I don't... Their eyes are really freaking
out. There appears to be some mechanisms within there for, like, basic food and drink. Think, like, water bottle.
There's a pipe in and out.
Feed tray.
Oh.
Yeah, there's an in pipe and an out pipe, and there's a bottom pipe, as in like a drainage pipe if you must know.
Oh, Alex, this is dark.
It's horrible.
Ugh.
This is so distressing.
This is getting all of the content warnings.
Yes. Good. It
good.
Needs them.
Yep.
So as he says, maybe we can come back for them, but right now
we
might.
Yeah, we follow Zolf, I guess.
Cool.
Let's
do you open the door?
Yeah.
Okay. Opening the door. On the far side, you can see there is a corridor of worked stone. So it looks like it was maybe a natural one that has then been sort of worked on and chipped out and so on. Medium size, so yeah, everyone
can fit.
Yeah, as you can fit in. Let's put it this way.
Good to know.
It looks like it may not once have... This is for Zolf, because, like, for obvious reasons, it looks like it was once a small one that someone has worked to be comfortable for medium, not even just, like, big enough, like, comfortable for...
Okay.
It's a nice change.
Yeah.
Did you head down the corridor?
Yeah.
Well then, why don't we head down the corridor?
Wait. Close the door behind us.
Oh.
I breathe in, I breathe out, I close the door behind us.
Guys, we didn't check for traps. We're probably all dead when we opened the door.
Why don't we close the door on the Nightmare Cavern and end the episode there?
Oh my god, and next week's 150.
Oh, it's going to be
horrible episode.
Don't trust anything.
I do not trust this.
Bleak, dark, and horrible.
This is your fault.
Oh yeah, I made this work.
I mean, your craft is impressive, but I don't think I can respect it.
No, never.
Please don't. It's horrific. But we'll find out what happens next week at least.
Bye.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by April Sumner. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord via the website or on Reddit at r/RustyQuill. Thanks for listening.
This damned flesh prison!
For the first time in my life, I actually think I understand you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today,
I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.